All praise.
Praise the name of the Lord.
You know, in times past, I've talked to you a little bit about, I've told you the story of how that years ago, one time when Roy Ralph was here, he was reading out of the book of Acts, and he basically shared this scripture out of the book of Acts. Let me read it to you here. It was Acts 13:1, and here's what it said. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, and there was called Niger,
and Lucius, and of Cyrene, and Manahim, which had been brought up in Herod's, the Tetrarch, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and with Saul. And you know, when he read that scripture, I was sitting in the back of the church, and he looked back at me, and I don't know if I was even an elder in the church then. I'm not sure. But he said, Brother Oscar, he said, check into that. And I thought, well, I mean, this Roy was the principal of a Bible college, you know. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, Roy, if you don't know, I sure don't know. But I went home, and I was sitting down in my basement in the family room. Margaret's mother was still living with us back then. And I'm sitting down there, and that was kind of my hideaway place, I guess, or whatever. I'd go down there, and I could just be by myself. And I felt like the Lord said, check into it. Amen. And I said, well, okay, Lord. And I've shared a little bit of this with you guys before, but I'm going to read you what I found when I checked into it here. Okay, I happened to bring the book that I happened to pick up and start looking at. And it says, Menahem. It says, the Greek form of the Hebrew name, Mayhem. It means comforter. Brought up with the foster brother of Herod Antipas, Menahem's life took a very different turn from that of the Tetrarch, and he is found as one of the Christian leaders at Antioch, along with Paul and Barnabas. Acts 13:1. That's what I just read you. He may have been related to an earlier Menahem of the Essenes, who, according to Josephus, and that's Antiquities 15:373, was a friend of Herod the Great. Okay? And when I got to looking at that, I had bought a book of Josephus a long time ago, and I had held it. And this was many years ago when the Lord gave me this, you know. And I had it, and I really never looked at it, because I looked at it, and it has kind of the history of a lot of the things that happened in the Jewish nation. And when I looked at this quote here saying, talking about Herod and Menahem, then I looked it up, and here, I'm going to read this to you, okay? And this is just to let you know how in control God is. And how he knows exactly what he's doing. And you know, this was Herod the great king, the first king. There was a lot of King Herods. There was more than one. And this was the first King Herod. And, you know, what Roy said to me, he was wondering why Menahem and some of these guys were living in Herod's household, you know. And I'm going to read this to you now. It says, now there was one of the these Essenes, whose name was Menahem, who had this testimony that he not only conducted his life after an excellent manner, but he had the foreknowledge of future events given him by God. He was a prophet. Also, this man once saw Herod when he was a child and was going to school, and saluted him as king of the Jews. But he was thinking that neither he did not know him, or that he was in jest. This is what Herod was thinking. But put him in mind that he was just a private man. Now, this is Herod the Great, okay? He was just a private man. But Mahim smiled to himself and clapped him on the backside. He whacked him on the butt with his hand and said, "However that be, thou wilt be king and will begin thy reign happily, for God finds thee worthy of it." And a lot of people wonder, how could Herod the king do some of the terrible things that he did? And God knew exactly what Herod was going to do. And then he goes on and he says, "God finds thee worthy of it. And do thou remember the blows of Mahim has given thee this as being a sign of the change of thy fortune. And truly this will be the best reasoning for thee, that thou love justice toward men and piety toward God, and clemency, which is forgiveness, towards thy citizens. Yet do I know how thy whole conduct will be, that thou will not be such a one." In other words, you're not going to do it, even though I've warned you, I've told you. "For thou wilt excel all men in happiness and obtain an everlasting reputation, but will forget piety and righteousness, and these crimes will not be concealed from God at the conclusion of thy life. When thou wilt find that he will be mindful of them and punish time for them." Now at that time, Herod did not at all attend to what Mahim said. He really didn't pay that much attention to what Mahim said, as having no hope of such an advancement. But a little afterwards, when he was so fortunate as to be advanced to the dignity of king and was in the height of his domain, he sent for Mahim and asked him how long he should reign. Mahim did not tell him the full length of his reign. Therefore, upon that silence of his, he asked him further whether he would reign 10 years or not. And he replied, "Yes, 20 years, nay, or 30 years, but will not assign the just determinate limit of his reign." Herod was satisfied with these replies and gave Mahim his hand and dismissed him. From that time, he continued to honor all the Essenes. We have thought it proper to relate these facts to our readers. How strange, however, they are to declare what had happened among us, because many of these Essenes have by their excellent virtue been thought worthy of the knowledge of divine revelation. So Herod had an encounter with a prophet, and that prophet prophesied basically to him that he was going to be king. And he was just a normal kid. I mean, he was actually going to school. And you know what? God knows what he's doing. He knows what's going to happen. He knows everything, see? And the reason that I told you that, and I'll get to that in a minute, but the reason that I told you that is that, you know, here we are around Christmas time, and he was talking about King Herod. And we know what King Herod did, that he killed all the babies that were about the same age as Jesus. And when the wise men came, they weren't actually babies. Jesus was probably about 3 years old by the time the wise men actually got to around Jerusalem, you know. And, you know, Herod told the wise men to come back and tell them basically where the kid was, or to, you know, because they were going to have him killed. And they didn't, and they were warned by an angel to go a different direction. And yet, all of the kids that were of the same age that Jesus would have been at that time, Herod had them all killed. So he didn't heed the prophetic word that God had given him, okay? And the reason I'm telling you that is when God gives you a word, be obedient to what he tells you to do. Because he gives you a chance, and you know, you say, well, how could King Herod do the things that he did? Well, he was forewarned about it, and he was given the opportunity to not do that because he was told to do justice and to treat people right and everything and to have mercy, and he didn't do it. So the title to this sermon is Hidden Things of God, okay? And I'm going to read you some other scriptures, and this is out of Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out the matter. And I'm going to tell you what, when he talks about kings, he's not talking about kings sitting up on some throne somewhere over in another land. He's talking about you. Because Scripture tells you, know you not that you're kings and priests unto God. And he's telling you that God conceals things and he hides things, but he wants you to search them out and to diligently search them out. In Isaiah 32, 1 through 4 says this, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as a river of waters in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer," and sometimes I feel like I'm a stammerer, so bear with me, "shall be ready to speak plainly." And I want you to know, I've prayed for years, Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit would say unto me. I love what Sam said back there, that the Lord basically spoke the word, that a light bulb to him, or showed him a light bulb, whichever it was. And you know what I believe what he was really saying to you, Sam, is that you're that light bulb. You know, one of the first songs we learn as little kids when we go to Sunday school is, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." And you know, Jesus was the light that came into the world. But now you're the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. You can't be hid. Let your light shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, the next scripture I have here is Jeremiah 33:3, and this is out of the King James. I'm going to read this one to you out of a couple different translations. It says, "Call on unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." There are different translations of these words. One version renders it like this, "I will show thee great and fortified things." When something's fortified, it's strong. It's extremely strong. And another, "great and reserved things." And now, these are reserved and special things in Christian experience. All the development of spiritual life is not alike. That same scripture, 2 and 3 out of the Message, says this. This is God's message. The God who made earth, made it livable and lasting, known everywhere as God. "Call on me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own." You know, I've had some of the brothers that's come, they've asked me, "Oscar, how did you come to know some of the things that you know and some of the things that I've told them since they've been here?" And I told them, it ain't because I'm smart enough to figure them out. It's because God has revealed them to me. And I tell you what, when he reveals something to you, nobody can ever take that away from you. It says, and down here it says, "Call on me and I will answer you, and I will tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own." Jeremiah 33:3, and this is out of the Amplified, it says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things fenced in and hidden which you do not know, you do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of, and understand. Never can figure out on your own. So you can tell yourself, I'm going to sit down and figure this scripture out. I'm going to figure the Bible out. No, you're not. Unless God opens it up to you, you're going to go by the way of man out there. That's why you got all these different denominations and all these different beliefs and everything else, because a lot of it is the wisdom of man and not the wisdom of God. Another translation puts it like this. Jeremiah 33:3 says, pray, call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you important secrets, great hidden things that you have never heard or known before. Now, the reason that I'm sharing them scriptures with you, when I was looking at these scriptures, the Lord gave me a prophetic word. And it just so happens that it's good that my computer, I can touch a button and it will record what I say. Thank God that he did, because I'm going to tell you, this is the prophetic word that he gave me. And I believe it's for you all too. For surely I would say unto you, even this day, I'm about to take the lid off and begin to reveal things that have been hidden in times past. There is nothing new under the sun, saith the Lord, but it shall be new unto you, because I have not revealed it to everyone. I shall begin to open the treasures of heaven and begin to show you mighty things that I desire to do in the earth. Things of this earth shall begin to fall apart. In a lot of situations, that the order of God might come in, for surely I would say unto you this day, that even as my word does declare that I am in control of everything, says the Lord, I am the Lord thy God, and what I declare shall come to pass. No man can say, stay my hand, and no man can hinder the thing that I would bring forth. But I would say to you this day, if you will just wait before me, upon me, and you will seek my face, I shall begin to show you things that many generations have desired to see. And even as I open them up and begin to show you the treasures in my word, I shall even bring about things that you've never seen before, and that the wisdom of man cannot even begin to comprehend. But it shall seem like foolishness to man, but it shall be the wisdom of God. And my wisdom is wiser than the wisdom of men. Know you this, that I shall declare, and I shall bring forth, and I shall cause it to happen, even as I have said. The Lord, it does not depend on you, but it depends on me. All that you need to do is just flow with me and be obedient to the things that I tell you to do when I tell you to do them, and surely they shall become a power and an anointing such as not been seen in this earth for many generations. Wow. For I am the Lord, and when I speak, it comes to pass. And when I open a door, it is opened. And when I close a door, no man can open it. But I say unto you, I am about to open the door of the treasures of my word and the treasures of even my life. And you shall begin to see them, and you shall begin to inhabit them, if you will but step through the door. For I am the door. Step through the door into me, and the more that you step into me, the more that creation shall begin to be set free. Surely I shall do this, says the Lord, not you, but me. But I shall move through you, says the Lord. Praise God. If anybody wants a copy of that, I'll give you a copy of that later. I don't have it printed out, but just that copy there. Praise the Lord. But this other thing that I told you about Mayhem, I did print some of them out, and if anybody wants one, you can have it. And it's funny how that Josephus, he chronicled the Jewish history, And he was living at the time when Jesus was, you know, Jesus was on the earth. I mean, you know, and, you know, he told this story about Mayhem, you know, which was, it just goes to show you that God even speaks to the people that he knows aren't going to be obedient to the things that he says. He speaks to them, gives them a chance. So, you know, you say, does God give you free choice? Yes, he does. But he also knows what you're going to do before you do it. I mean, wouldn't that be a lovely thing if we were like that, to where we could deal with people and we knew what they were going to do? Even though we were telling them something else, we knew they weren't going to do it or they were going to do it. But that's the way God is. God doesn't deal in the realm of time like we do, you know. He's in the past, he's in the present, and he's in the future. There is no time with God as far as his presence. His presence is, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere, and he's continuously there. Praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. But if you want a copy of that prophecy, I'll make some copies of it and give it to you if you want it. Sure. Let me come down here and get you on here so we make sure we...
The prophecy that God has given you.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting here and he took me to Psalm 82.
All right.
And I just wanted to read it because it so went along in my heart with what you were saying.
Right.
Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, little g. How long, congregation, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Think about that. That's Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand, and they walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. This is kind of like the times we're living in. Ye and I, he says, I have said, ye are gods. God has said that to us. We're little g's. Ye are Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Something having to do with this realm, Elohim created. God used, we were there. Elohim are the little gods.
See,
we had to
Elohim,
do.
Elohim too is a plural word.
It's a plural word
it's
for
plural word.
The body
so
of God.
Body of
yeah. So this all has to do with us. And he says, how long are you going to let everything out of order? Ye are gods. And all of you, children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. That's what it's been up till now. You know anybody that's missed death? Not yet. Arise, O God. Who is that, O God?
That's still Elohim.
That's Elohim. There it goes. Arise, O God. Oh, now I lost it. Hang on a minute. Yep. Go back. I missed it. Arise, O God. I'm sorry. I lost it.
Here, I'll get it.
Psalm 82. I'll find it. There's just one verse left. There it is.
Got it.
Arise, O God, O Elohim. Judge the earth, the earthly, that earthly, fleshly, earthly man. For thou shalt inherit all nations.
Yeah.
I just think that before you were saying it, God was drawing that to me.
Yeah.
And I thought it went with it well.
Yeah, it did. Very good. And you know, the thing about it is that, you know, even the word Elohim in the Old Testament, you know, it doesn't use the word Jehovah. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, you know. And I believe we were always a part of God, but we were lowered into this level here, you know. And, you know, they got on Jesus one time, and because he said he was the Son of God. And they got on him real heavy, and he said, well, why are you getting on me, basically? And I'm paraphrasing this. And he said, because you make yourself out to be the Son of God. He says, does not your own word declare I have said you're gods? And when we were born again of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, each seed is after its own kind. It can only bring forth what seed it is. And that seed of God that's inside of us can only bring forth God, you know, as it comes to maturity, you know. And, you know, I was just going to tell you one other scripture real quick. And I Bill Britton brought this out one time. In the genealogies of Matthew, he starts telling the genealogies from way back all the way to Jesus. And he talks about there was 14 generations, there was 14 generations, and there was 14 generations. And if you count them up, 14, 14, and 14 is 42. But if you count the actual names that's mentioned there, there's only 41. And you think, oh, well, there's a mistake in the Bible. No, there's not. There's a scripture that says, there shall be a seed accounted unto him as a generation. Hello, generation. Hello, generation. That's us. We're that 42nd generation. All of God's body, all of his people, we're that 42nd generation. And I tell you what, look at the things out there on the earth today. There's some screwy things going on, I tell you. But even as that word declares there, it says, you know, don't dismay, because those things are going to happen. But the kingdoms of this world have to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he has said he is King of kings and Lord of what? Lords. That's you. You're a part of that. That's why in Revelations, when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of a great multitude. It was a voice of many waters. In Daniel, it was the voice of great multitude when he spoke, because he was showing you what was going to come to pass. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share. Anybody else got anything they want to share? Yeah.
I was going to say something about, though, years ago we had a brother in the church. It was named Miles Shepherd. He was a tremendous man of God, and he gave us a word. He said, hear what people saying, but listen what the Spirit says through them. Yeah. Otherwise, he was discerning the Spirit that was coming out of them, just like God has given us the ability to discern the Spirit that we're walking in and help other people to walk in it. Miles Shepherd will always be with us. The Word declares, the heavens declare the glory of God. And I believe we know a lot of people in the heavens.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay, praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer then. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your word, for truly it is spirit and life. We ask you, Father, to help us not only be hearers of this word, but go forth and be doers of this word, that you might be glorified in the earth, Father. Amen. We thank you that this is all about you moving in your people. And we have to get obedient to want to hear what you would speak to us each day and move and be obedient. And don't despise the scripture tells you not to despise the day of little things. You know, there is no little things in God. I don't care whatever God tells you to do. It's a big thing. It might seem very little. It might seem very insignificant. Oh, it won't matter if I don't do that. Yes, it will. It will matter extremely a lot.
So let's get obedient and do the things God tells us to do. And I think we're going to begin to see a mighty move begin to move throughout the earth. Creation is dying out there. They're dying out there. They want to see Jesus. And you know where they're going to see him at? In you. Because you're the body of Christ. And you know where he's going to appear at first? He's going to appear in his body, which is you. And I'll tell you what, when he appears in that body, creation's going to be set free. He's coming a second time without sin unto salvation, unto total salvation. Praise God. Well, God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. And we will see you all next week. Praise the Lord.